Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word Australia South Africa Women's Test Daily from the Wacker, from Perth, Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan with you. The show is brought to you by Cbus Super, cbussuper.com.au. And well, since you did it yesterday, Bharat, it's only fair if today I tell you about the day's play in 30 seconds. But that's relatively easy because you could spend about 25 of the seconds on Annabelle Sutherland, who started the day on 54 not out, had 100 by lunch, had 200 by tea, and went on to 210 by the time she was out late in the day. Australia batted on forever and ever. Ash Gardner made 65, Kim Garth 49 not out, 575 for 9 by the time they declared, and South Africa are 67 for 3 going into the third day, hanging on for dear life, 432 behind. Fair?
Very fair. I think you nailed it in 30 seconds or even less than 30 seconds. So that was very impressive. And you're right. It is the Annabelle Sutherland day. And, you know, I think I've changed my mind on how I feel about Australia batting on and on and on. I know, and I will confess, I did message you a few times about what are they doing? Why aren't they finishing the game off today? But that's just how cricket people work. Whether I don't know, I've never been an international cricketer, but at least people in the media box, you just want the game to finish early, don't you? And when you sniff a chance for an early finish, whether you are at the ground or you're not, you want it to happen. And I think at some levels, we felt like Australia weren't ready to give us that. But the reason I say I changed my mind, Jeff, is I was thinking about it while I was walking the dogs, which is when the best thoughts come to you, like whoever you are. And I realized, well, like they have to wait so long to play test cricket, right? Like their test, even though Australia play a lot more test matches than some of the other countries or most of the other countries, but still they have to wait months before they play a test match. So why wouldn't you want to make the most of it? Like, you know, I mean, yes. And if you are Sophie Molyneux, it's easy for us here to sit and say, what is she doing at number eight? She should throw her bat around. Australia are 400 ahead or whatever they were ahead by. But that's not how it works, does it? Like, so I get why Australia batted and batted and batted. And look, they still got 3 wickets, and they got 3 wickets so quickly. They could have literally run through South Africa and finished with, what, 7 or 8 and just come back for a bit tomorrow. But credit to the South African middle order for holding them at bay.
I want to talk Sutherland appreciation before I talk about the declaration stuff. Like I said, resuming just after she'd reached 50, 54 not out overnight, the 100 by lunch, the 200 by tea, she returned after that tea break, went on to 210, got out to the first funky shot that she'd played, tried a scoop and dobbed it up in the air to first slip on 210. So she could have run down Elise Perry's 213, the highest Australian test score, Kieran Bullock 242, the highest women's test score of all. She might have even been able to go on towards a triple 100, which nobody's done in women's test cricket, obviously, but that didn't end up happening. Probably just mentally fatigued, I would have thought, from having been so focused for so long. But that's what stood out to me about this innings, was the focus and the discipline, right? The hardest things to do when you're used to playing 20 over or at a pinch 50 over cricket, where, and particularly if you're in the middle order or the lower middle order as Sutherland has been, you're lucky to get 20 overs in a 50 over game, or maybe 30 if there's a big collapse up the order. You're never batting the sort of long periods of time that she was batting in this test match. So, and it wasn't a road of a pitch. Like, no. Ash Gardner was struggling throughout. Her timing wasn't there. She played a couple of nice straight drives, but she kept sort of clunking the pull shot, couldn't nail her shots. Sutherland keeps a good tempo throughout. She keeps taking her singles and twos. She attacks her boundary balls when they come along. The only time when I thought she looked a bit dicey was when she was in the 90s, just as the second new ball came along, and Masabato Klaas was bowling, not very well, but bowling wide outside the off stump, and Sutherland kept chasing it. She picked up a couple of boundaries, really stepping across and going after balls that she probably would have been better off leaving alone. But aside from that, the second 100 was basically flawless. She was savage on the pull shot. Some of the offside driving was incredible. That one where they had a deep set mid-off and an extra cover, and she threads it right between the two of them. Some of the ones through cover as well, and super busy. There was one period where I was keeping notes because I noticed, so I was like, okay, 26 balls she's faced without a boundary, but she scored 19 runs in that period. So she was so busy. And then the presence of mind to finish it off. Two balls till tee. She's on 194, smacks the pull shot for four, and she's got Nadine de Klerk bowling, swinging deliveries in at the stumps, keeping it tight. So Sutherland backs herself to shuffle away slightly and play it beautifully over mid-on, lofted over mid-on for four to bring up the 200. Everything about it, every note of the opus that she put together was in its right place. She barely got a thing wrong through the entire innings.
Yeah, it's like watching you. It's interesting you use the term every note that she played, because it has been like watching this young musician come on the stage. And I was there and on the Gold Coast when she made her test debut. I think Australia had four test debutants that day. And you could see, and it's been well publicized that she always looked up to Elise Perry growing up, and a lot of what she does with the way she bats, her bowling action, a lot of it is, you can say that she's, you can very clearly see that she's idolized Elise Perry and she's modeled herself on her. And why wouldn't you, right? You know, you're talking about one of the greats of sport, not just women's cricket or cricket. But I can, and I remember how she was in practice sessions. She was just hanging on to everything like Elise Perry was doing. Even in practice, she was trying to do everything Elise Perry was doing. And I remember the first spell she bowled that day against India. It felt like, I mean, the other debutants, Stella Campbell and Darcy Brown, had a go. But then the moment Annabel Sutherland bowled her first ball, she was impactful. You could see that the level of the game just picked up. And for someone to do that when she was, what, I think 19 or 20 at that point, when you've never played this format of the game, kind of told you about like the special talent that she is. And subsequently, every time you see her play, we were in at Trent Bridge last year when she made that 100, she batted a lot with Elise Perry, didn't she, when Elise Perry got the 99. But you can see that she's breaking away from Elise Perry, like being the Elise Perry clone in that sense, and finding her her own melody, her own presence on the stage, like a lot of young musicians do. Like, you now, when Annabel Sutherland plays a shot, you're like, oh, that's an Annabel Sutherland shot. Some of those shots she spoke about through the offside, the way she lofts the spinners over the straight field, or for that matter, anyone over the straight field. There is this trademark, there's this Annabel Sutherland style to it, which, for someone to do that when they're so young, is as special as for someone at 22 making 100 and then following it up with a double 100 in the space of 6 months in a format that they don't get to play too much. You can expect a lot of very special milestones and special achievements from this kid, I'm sure, going forward. But there's just something about, there's always been something about her in that sense. But I'm just so pleased to see her find her own niche create her own niche and really take it up to the next level. You're right. I mean, the control she showed throughout the innings and the way she dictated terms in that middle session was as impressive as everything else she did throughout that innings.
So one measure where she is slightly ahead of Perry at the moment, they've both got a test 100 and a test double. Sutherland's done it in 5 games. Perry's playing her 13th.
Yeah.
So there have been 8 Australian women who've made two test hundreds or more. The most anyone's made is three. All of the others have played between 10 and 15 test matches, and Sutherland's five. So, and she might get the chance to play a fair few more than these previous players because it is growing. Australia is likely to play a bit more women's test cricket, not a huge amount, but maybe she ends up being able to play 20 tests in her career or 25 instead of 8 or 9 or 10. She's 22 years old and there's that possibility, that lure that's been dangled about three test series in the future. Let's talk the declaration. I agree with your points. I was thinking about this earlier myself, in that I can totally understand why they continue to bat. One thing in test cricket, you're allowed to punish the opposition. That's part of it. Two, you're allowed to use up the time you've got in the game, and there were no concerns with weather, and there are two full days to go. Three, I don't know if this would have crossed their minds, but wrapping it up in 2 days might be less appealing than having some people come down on the third day, on the Saturday. Maybe there are friends and family coming, that sort of thing. There might be a sense that there is no rush to finish it. You've got this time to play a test. You might as well use at least three of the days. But I think the point you raised is the most important, that given how scant the chances are in test cricket, the opportunity, I mean, not many players get the opportunity to make a double hundred, even if they play 50 or 60 or 70 tests, but to have that opportunity, in given how rare the chances are. But not just that, I think for everybody in the side, for Alana King to get to have a bat, for Kim Garth to get to have a bat, you know, the most common number of test matches played is one in a career, and particularly in women's cricket, you know, if you're injured when the next game comes around, suddenly it's a couple of years later, you're out of favour, maybe that's the only opportunity you ever get. So I can understand them saying, well, we want to give everyone the chance to have a hit, except for Darcy Brown.
Yeah, I think that's what must have gone through their mind, because I thought, like, and I think I was watching it on mute at that point, when Annabel Sutherland gets to her double hundred, I think that's the point I muted the television screen. And just the way they walked off and it said tea break, I thought, oh, they've declared the inning, so they maybe have taken an early tea break. I didn't watch the time. So I was very surprised. That's when I took the dogs out for the walk. So I was very surprised to see them come back out and continue. And that's when the realization set in that, like, why wouldn't you, right? Like, yeah, if you're Kim Garth, you know, you've gone wicketless in the first innings despite bowling so well, and I'm sure we'll talk about her bowling soon enough. Or if you're Alana King, who really fancies a bat, or like I said, if you're Sophie Molyneux, like, why should you come and indulge in declaration batting, if that makes sense? You'd want to, if you waited, 2 years to play a test match or an international match. I think we need to cut them some slack as well. Like, you know, maybe it would be different if you're talking men's test cricket, where they, you know, there's like a test match around the corner or next week or 2 months later. It's not. So, yeah, I mean, to give everyone a go made a lot of sense. And especially, like you said, you have so much time. We're not even talking day three. We're talking day two. Even the fact that Annabel Sutherland got to a double hundred at the tea break while her team was batting second in a test is in itself quite a feat.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. If this were a normal run, if it's a test situation where you're playing in the middle of a series or whatever, there are points where batting on looks like taking the piss, and that's especially if you bowl out the opposition for such a low score on morning one. And if you're purely about the match, then you do things differently. So, I mean, so I thought, even at the lunch break on day two, I thought, they're 290 up. Sutherland's just got to 100. Gardner's just got to a 50. A ruthless team at this point would declare. They'd be like, fine, we're nearly 300 ahead. We've absolutely just turned them over in the first innings. We'll back ourselves to do it again. Also, it was cooler on day two, so it would have been easier to bowl there than coming back when it's going to be closer to 40 degrees on day four. So that's what I thought, you know, a ruthless test side would do. And I partly wanted them to do that. And then I guess as it was getting towards tea, Sutherland was nearing 100, so there was a reason to go on. And I think it was the lack of urgency from Gardner, particularly, who's a more attacking player, but just couldn't get going. Molyneux comes in striking at about 50, you know, took 25 balls to make her first couple of runs on that long comeback. And so, you know, it's like my cricket brain is saying, well, this is a waste of time. What are they doing out there?
Exactly.
But there is that other factor. There is, this isn't happening in a vacuum. It's happening in a situation where even the Australian women's team, who get to play a bit more test cricket than other sides, still get to play so little of it. A couple in the last year or so, you know, they had the one in India, and the one in 2023 in England. So anyway, so they did bat on. Gardner 65 in a partnership of 144. Nadine de Klerk worked pretty hard throughout the day, eventually got her with a good cutter that came back in LBW. Molyneux makes 33, gets bowled, trying to leave Chloe Tryon, but the ball doesn't turn away from her from the left-arm spinner. Sutherland out scooping. King gets a bat. Kim Garth has been belting them. So I think she was told the declaration's coming pretty soon, but so she smacks it around. And then suddenly she's in the mid-30s, and they're like, well, okay, well, she could get a 50, so they keep batting. And then by the time she's on 49, they're expecting her to get there or get out. So they tell Darcy Brown to take the pads off and get ready to bowl. And then Alana King gets bowled herself, sweeping try on again for 8. So Kim Garth gets stuck on 49, not out. 575 for 9 when they pull the pin, a lead of 499. Chloe Tryon 3 for 81 with some of those bonus wickets you get when you're bowling when everybody's tired. Masabata Class had 3 for 4 at one stage early in the innings and ends up with 3 for 85. Just couldn't get her line and length back with the second new ball or later. I suppose it's the fatigue that's a big factor there as well. De Klerk 2 for 96 did a lot of work, and Delmi Tucker the wicket of Healy for 68. Malaba, the left arm spinner, none for 119, and Ayanda Halubi none for 79 on debut. Tough work for the South Africans. They got punished. 125 overs out there in the field.
Yeah, and you could see it especially in their fielding. I thought their fielding was pretty good yesterday and for pretty much the whole of yesterday and even for a period this morning. But as the day wore on, you could see, again, like they've said all along, they're learning on the job, and fielding for long periods is arguably the toughest lesson to learn on the job, I guess. You know, when you know the game's so far away from you, you're not even, no longer even playing catch up. You're just literally at the mercy of what Australia want to do, and you know, how long they want to bat or when the declaration's coming. And like you and I were talking about the declaration, I'm sure they were wondering about that as well. While Alisa Healy just sat there doing her crossword or whatever she was doing. I don't know. They kept saying she was doing the crossword, but every time the camera zoomed in and she kind of flipped the paper, it looked like it was some other boxy thing. It didn't look like the crossword. So I wonder what she was doing.
Sudoku.
Maybe the Sudoku. I thought it was the Sudoku. But you felt bad for the South Africans. Especially Klaas, who started so well yesterday. Maybe, you know, even if it meant she went for a lot of runs like she did, it would have looked good if she'd got her 5-wicket haul, you know, something to take back home. Who knows when she'll ever get to play another test match, or if she gets to play another test match. You felt bad for them, and I thought that just carried forward in the way they batted. But I was super impressed with Kim Garth. You spoke about it yesterday, how unlucky she was to not get wickets. And she was just hooping the ball around. It was some sensational new ball bowling. Again, like, she could have taken more than 2 wickets, but 2 wickets to show for it, at least for tonight.
So Bosch, who drives the outswinger to Molyneux into the cordon, a pair for her. Wolfart gets dropped by Molyneux at third slip off Garth again, another catch going down off Garth. And then Garth has Suno Lees taken at first slip by Phoebe Litchfield. Darcy Brown comes back and nicks off Wolfart, the captain, so 3 down for 13. Perry bowled a really good spell, was cutting it back in at the stumps after swinging it away. Didn't pick up a wicket, but was threatening the stumps. Alana King looked really good at the close of play, but Tucker's still there, and Brits, they'll resume tomorrow. No hope of saving the game, but they'll just see how long they can bat, I suppose. And we will look to cover that as best we can. I've got to move house tomorrow, glance behind the curtain, and Bharat's got a long-standing work booking in the evening. So we're going to try to do the daily show, but a bit later, but delayed. Anyway, we're working that out at the moment. It won't be out at the usual time, but bear with us and we'll do the best we can. Right, let's go to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The final word, Hall of Fame, brought to you by Cbus Super. 40 years since the superannuation legislation got put into place in Australia, where there'd be a retirement scheme for everybody to get involved with. Since then, over 900,000 Australians have their super with Cbus, who've returned an average of 8.99% on the default fund across that period of time. Past performance, not a reliable indicator of future performance. Picking our most final word moments of the day, what stood out to you, Bharat?
Firstly, imagine being Will Sutherland today. You know, you've taken a five-wicket hole, you're Victorian captain, and you've had a great day as a cricketer, right? As a first-class cricketer, bowled out New South Wales. Well, we could do a final word on the batting disappointments all around Australia and the Sheffield Shield, but maybe we'll leave that for another day. But then, you know, you go back home, you're wondering if your dad watched your spell as a former fast bowler himself, and you want to know what he thinks of you. And he's like, oh, did you take five wickets? Oh, very good. Good to know. Yeah, your sister made 200 and the fastest 200 ever, and she was the second youngest ever to make a double 100 in the history of women's test cricket. And you wonder how Will Sutherland felt today, right? Like, and it's happened to him before. I'm pretty sure I remember a time when he made 100, but Annabel did something even better at international level and stole stole his thunder. So I'm sure Will get his opportunity. He's already started playing international cricket. But yeah, a five-wicket haul, which might not get spoken about too much in the Sutherland household, at least tonight anyway.
I wonder what Ben Duckett's sister got up to today, if he has one. And don't forget that Annabel Sutherland took 3 wickets in 3 overs in the first innings of the match as well. Once she's recovered by day 3, maybe she'll have another bowl and see what she can pick up there. I have to give my Hall of Fame to Annika Bosch. Goodness me, it's not quite a thanks for coming, because she did get to bat, but a duck in the first innings, a duck in the second, one day apart. She's faced 7 balls in the match, opening the batting, fielded for 125.2 overs, and on day 1 was given the ball first change, got belted for 30 runs in 4 overs, and then hasn't been given the ball since, even when the second new ball was taken. They did not go back to poor Annika Bosch. Cricket is a very unkind game sometimes, and I hope she's found some enjoyment in what she got up to today. And Kim Garth might sympathise a little bit, stranded on 49 not out and 2 catches dropped off her bowling, wicketless in the first innings thanks to that. But at least she picked up a couple in the second. They did manage to hang on to a couple behind the wicket for her.
And which is why I was happy for Tucker that she somehow survived that first ball and then got going. And in her own way, with her unique technique, she survived. Just one more from me. I know Tamsin Brits has been playing international cricket for quite a while. I mean, she's been around a while. But I found it quite funny that as Laura Wolfart, after she got out, you know, captain, so much was resting on her shoulders. What a beautiful delivery it was from Darcy Brown. Just opened her up, and she gets caught behind. So she's walking off disappointed. You can see her shoulders are slumped. And I just noticed as she walked past Brits, Brits kind of looked at her and kind of like how Steve Smith and Manus tell themselves, she kind of like indicated to Laura just what the ball did. And you could see Laura just looking at her going like, yeah, I know, I just got out to it. You don't have to remind me. You know, it was just interesting, like, that Tamsin would pick that very moment to tell her captain just what the ball did that got rid of her for the second time. And, you know, second cheap dismissal anyway,
Oh, nice ball that, angled in, moved away. Yeah, angled and moved away. Good, bit of a nick. Thanks, mate. Okay, that's it for us. Thank you, Bharat, for joining the show. Thanks to Cbus for sponsoring it. If you like what we do, patreon.com/thefinalword is where you can back us in. We will be with you eventually, maybe not on day three, but about day three, as soon as we can see.
I ain't protected, brother, I ain't fenced in. If my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here.
I had to go